glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Usually the first Sundays are family meetings and Holy Ghost meetings, really. So I just flow. I would have been teaching maybe on God's organogram that I haven't finished. But that will be for the next Sunday I'm preaching, maybe 2 Sundays time or something. You know, but we'll just flow and enjoy God this morning. Hallelujah. It's the first Sunday of the year. Good to see you all. God is good. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. 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 Good to see Pastor Fumi Shalu this morning. Metamorphosis Church, Abuja. Good to see Samuel and Ife. Also, I'm actually meeting Ife for the first time. Yes, for the first time. Hallelujah. Those are our children. Good to see them all. And good to see you all. Good to see Chioma. Yes, you're looking. She ran away before Christmas. Hallelujah. Reuben, good to see you. I was also thinking about him. But I haven't seen him in a while. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So for me, please come. Please come. I feel you should just share. It's a Holy Ghost meeting, so just share whatever God lays on your heart. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but you can be on the spot. Be instant, okay. In season and out of season.
All right, good morning, church. I'm glad to be back here. And I just want to say thank you to the Lord because God is faithful. God is faithful to his people, he's faithful to us all. We want to appreciate him for keeping us all these years, for bringing us into a new year. And I want to remind all of us that God has plans. I know all of us have plans also for this year. Some of us have sat down to write our plans for the year. But in all that we do, I just want to remind you, the word of the Lord says we should commit our ways, our plans into the hands of the Lord and allow him to direct us. So in as much as you have your plans for this year, please do not plan God out of your life, out of what you have. What you have written, what you are trusting the Lord for, because our Father is a good Father. He's not an irresponsible Father. Our Father is a Father that is very present with his own children. I want to say to you, what he wants for you will literally blow your minds. What he has for you and I is way bigger than whatever we can ever conceive in our hearts. So the way we do it, that you give something small to a child and you say, give me out of it, and he says no, forgetting that there is more where this came from. I don't want you to be like that as we go into the year. Let's not think that we are on our own and by ourselves, planning for our lives as if nobody else cares, as if our Father does not care. Please, I want you to remember, I know it can sound somehow when somebody is saying, please plan God with your life. Don't remove God out of your life. It might look like, how is it possible? Am I going to remove it before? But it's possible that we think as if you are orphans. You are by yourself. As if God is not, you know, mindful of you. As if God does not have plans for you. God has plans for you. God has the things he wants to give to you. But God also will do what he will do. In all that we are going for, let us ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do also this new year? All of us have assignments. We have work that God has called us. The Bible says that there are things that he has determined, Ephesians 2. He says we are his workmanship. There are works that have been created. There are things that God has intended that you are 2024. Whether I did 2023 well or not, there are things in 2024 that God has on his agenda for me. And really, you'll be living the most blessed life, the most interesting life, if you will find the things that God has put on his calendar and you are saying, God, I want to do the things you want me to do. Because you will not lack anything. Mr. Bukola wanted to read Psalm 23 to us earlier on to remind us that God is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. He says you will lack nothing at all. He is your shepherd. You have all that you need for this year 2024. Your emotional needs are well catered for. Amen. God is not looking at finances alone and taking away your emotions. There are people here, you think you're of marriageable age, you have not found love. I tell you, the plan of God for you is that you will move closer. And some people are actually even getting married or getting that relationship of their heart desire this year. So the Lord has plans for your emotional needs. The Lord has plans for your financial needs. The Lord has plans for your physical needs. The Lord has plans for your social needs. The Lord has plans for your spiritual needs. He has it all complete. He has things He has for you to do, and He has plans to meet your own needs. But let's also meet the needs of God this year. As we read earlier on, Genesis 18 is what I would have spoken about. You know, how Abraham entertained angels. Hebrews 13 says to us that Abraham, he said, be good to strangers. Entertain strangers, because that is how some people in time past entertained strangers, not knowing. They entertained strangers, you know, not being aware. So this year, you know, so that is one thing I would have wanted to say, and I can just go ahead and say it now. Because it came to me that the way we treat human beings, that is the same way you will treat God. God comes to us in different ways. This year again is going to come to you in form of people. He will come to you in form of that brother, that sister by your side, in your neighborhood, at your office, at your place of work, in your business, in your family. He will come to you as your brother, as your sister, your mother, at times your father. Do not rule these things out, all these meetings out. Let's be at our best. Let's listen out for the Holy Spirit. Let's not know man after the flesh. Let's not, you know, deal with them based on the experiences you've had with other people, maybe last year, previous years, as you've grown up. Make up your mind that you are going to be a Jesus person. You are going to show love to people. If you are quick to be nice to people, to entertain, to be cautious, when the Lord is coming to you like He came to Abraham, Abraham did not know that what is blessing coming to him. He did what he would naturally do. You can go back and read that Genesis 18. He did not know that it was the Lord. The scripture said he saw people coming and he thought they were strangers. They had traveled a long distance. He said, and I'm going to be benevolent. I'm just going to be good. I'm just going to be nice. I'm just going to be cordial. I'm just going to be pleasant to these people. I'm just going to show a lending hand. These people have come from a far journey. Some of us, we have pushed away. We have postponed our blessings, because we have not been conscious of people around us. You are thinking, if I see God, the Lord Jesus said, He said, I've been in the hospital, you didn't come visiting. I've been in need, you didn't give to me. And they asked Him, when? Exactly when have we seen you that we've not done that? I'm a Christian, for heaven's sake. If I know that, if I see you, why will I not take care of you? And Jesus said, if you have not done it to the least of my servants, the least of my children, you have not done it to me. Let's ask the Lord to help us look at people through in His own lenses. Let's see God in people. Let's be nice. Let's be cordial to people. Let's show love. You don't know where they are coming from, what they are going through. And at the heart of it is the fact that you have been called to be disciples for the Lord Jesus. So as you are showing love, you know what you are doing. You want to be every form of God, of Jesus to them that you can ever show. It's like you are showing love because you know part of your assignment on earth is to disciple people for Christ. You are revealing Jesus to them. Some of them might have had bad experiences maybe in church and they've just distanced themselves away from God. But we want to be more Jesus's that people will see on the face of the earth in the year 2024. Jesus is on the streets, or you know, on the streets of Ogudu. Jesus is in your neighborhood, in your offices. Amen. Not until, you know, it's not because we are, you know, you are being called a pastor, a cell leader, a team leader in your church, or everybody knows that you are a Christian. They don't put it on our heads. But please let us show the love of Christ everywhere we find ourselves. There are people that God has in His mind this year to reach out to. There are people that should come to the Father this year, 2024. There are people that should find their path back to God. Some of them have been Christians before. Maybe they had bad experiences and they pulled back. But you want to say, God, as much as it lies within my power, I'm going to see to it that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, however, you know, the number of its disciples or men and women will return back to you this year. If the person is already a disciple of Christ Jesus, I'm saying, what can I do to help this person to move on in his journey as a disciple? There are times that you need to give listening ear to somebody and encourage the person to be their best. I'm going through this situation with my sister-in-law, and you know, even though the Bible says I should do this, it's difficult for me because of what she's done for me before. Can I be that listening ear and say to that person, sister, let's do what the word says. Can I pray with you? This hurt that you have had, can we pray? Let the Lord help you to let go of it so that you can reveal him to this, your sister-in-law. Is anybody tracking with me? I'm helping that my sister in the Lord, sister in the faith, to overcome that difficulty of, I've been beaten and battered before. I don't want to be nice to anybody. How many people know, you know, this year is a very serious year. For the first time, or well that I'm aware, the streets or the nation or maybe the world has a word for the year. Has it happened before? It hasn't. But how many people know the word for the year? No grief for anybody. If you haven't, that is it though. I'm telling you now. No grief for anybody. As if for the first time, the world has a word, a theme of the year. Churches have theme of the year. The world too, or maybe it's Nigeria. I don't even know if it's the world, but I think it's Nigeria. No grief for anybody. They are saying no grief for anybody. This year is going to be serious. But you better be walking by the tenets of the scriptures. You better be walking by what the word of God encourages Christians, you and I, to be. God needs more men to come to him. If you look, if God is looking from heaven, what he's doing on earth? Just two things. He's developing you and I, Christians that are already born again and they've come to the Father. God is developing us. We are going to continue with our growth and our development this year. Amen. And I hope you've made up your mind that I'm going to be closer to the Lord. I want to discover more of my gifts and I want to walk in my gift. And the number two thing, guess what? The Lord is saving souls. Those are the two things. He's growing us and he's going to be helping us to give birth to more people. He's growing us. You will not remain the same. You are going to grow. You will become no longer children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Amen. You are going to grow as a Christian. You are going to grow. The things that you are being fed from here, you know, every time I come here, this place is like home to me. I've not been here many times. Maybe this is my fourth time or third. It's feeling like fourth or fifth. But every single time, I have just always felt at home. You know, I was a bit held, you know, I was trying to be, you know, be like an Alejo. That was why I stood up, I looked, I'm like, okay, I'm blocking some people at the back. And then I moved here, you know, like, I don't want to be, just be nice, like an Alejo, just sit in one place. But I told myself, I beg, it's my father's house, amen. I'm among my sisters and my brothers, amen. So if I didn't allow you to see, please forgive me. But then you are in a good place. You are in a place where the Spirit of God, the presence of God is strong and is heavy. I really felt like just lying on the floor in the as we sang earlier on, because the Spirit of God is here. Take in as much as you are being fed. Take in as much as is available. Make up your mind you are going to participate in everything that is going to happen in this place this year. Amen. Do not be a bench warmer. If last year you didn't do so much, make up your mind, I want to contribute my own. In every house, as children grow, there's something everybody, you know, contributes. At the baby level, they are contributing love. We have a baby to carry around. We have a baby to pour our love into. We have a baby to feed. We have a baby to care for. And they are contributing something. But as they grow, they begin also to contribute, you know, in some more tangible ways into the house. They are sweeping, they are, so it's an aberration. It's not normal when we stay in a family and we stay aloof. So please make up your mind. Say to yourself, this year I am rising up from my table, from my seat. I am serving. You are serving God by serving his people in this community. I said two things. If you look upon the face, look down, maybe from God's perspective, from above, two things that he's doing. He's growing us, he's developing us, and he's helping us to give birth to more. Those are the two things. Get closer to the Lord. As you get closer, because it is said about the sheep, that when the sheep is full, he will lie down. Usually when a sheep is not full, that is when you see the sheep going up and down, wandering. Have you seen the picture of a sheep that the shepherd will put around the neck? How many of us have seen that? Usually when they depict the picture of a shepherd, that is what you see. Please, let's look at that Psalm 23 again, the verse 1. Psalm 23, verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd, you will not lack for anything." Part of how God does that, how that shepherd does it. And the way God describes us, if you look through the scriptures, we are described as his sheep. Usually we describe the believers as sheep. The sheep is one of the animals that does not know its way home if it misses its way. It doesn't have that navigational tool that you call GPS. A chicken can find its way back home. Am I right? A dog can find its way back home. I don't know what other animals, you know, maybe some of them, the birds, they find their way back to their cage. But a sheep, when it's lost, is lost. It continues to get more lost and more lost. And that is why God has given us a shepherd. And in churches, you have pastors. They are here to make life better for you and I. They have their own challenges. They have their own struggles. They have their own work with the Lord to keep an eye on. But they also are saddled with the responsibility of helping us, the rest of the sheepfold, to know our God, know his voice, and follow. One of the ways that God helps the sheep when the sheep goes away, because, like I said, when you have a sheep that is full, it will lie down. The scripture says, "It makes me lie down by the streams of water," right? "It makes me lie down in green pastures." When you are full as a sheep, you will lie. But when a sheep is not full, looking for what is not lost at times, maybe because the sheep has not been fed properly, which for this house is not the case for you and I. Amen. When a sheep is not being properly fed, you can't blame that sheep. It will look for what is not lost. It will wander and wander. And as they wander around, the sheep gets lost. It falls into a thicket. It falls into a place, maybe from one high place, falls into a hill. And you are looking, how did he get there? But what the shepherd will do is to go in there, take the sheep. And if this sheep is a sheep that is prone to wander about, guess what the shepherd does? You said, sir? He ties it, but before tying it, he breaks his legs. His leg, rather, one leg. Amen. Does that sound like a good shepherd? Amen. How many people want their leg broken here? Just one, not the two. One. Nobody. But I tell you, that is what a shepherd needs to do at times. You know, shepherds these days in churches, pastors now, because they are shepherding under God, under Christ Jesus, on his behalf. We don't do that. Several of us don't have the liberty to do that. Except for people that have taken you as my father, my mother, you know, you are free to do anything you want with me because I trust your judgment. Those people allow you to speak freely into their lives. Amen. Because they know you are speaking from a place of love. But generally, pastors don't get to break legs. But I tell you, if the shepherd of Israel, and I'm sure even now, what they do is, they will, if you know that this sheep is prone to running around, you are here, you are going. The word of the Lord Jesus said, "I know my sheep, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. The voice of a stranger, they will not follow." You are supposed to know the voice of your shepherd. And you see, in a place, at times some of us have watched movies, you see like 3-4 shepherds come together with their different sheepfold, there'll be all of them. They come together, they come to drink water, everything is scattered, all of them are joined together. But you know that immediately they finish drinking and the shepherds begin to go different direction, you'll be amazed that all the sheep, they follow they align. Thank you, sir. They align, they follow their shepherd. They know their shepherd, they know the voice. So once they are done, 4 shepherds now, one goes like this and is probably singing or chanting as he's going. As he's chanting and voicing things out, his sheep, they disengage from water. They know it has finished. We are finished drinking now. It's time to move on. We are continuing on our journey. We are migrating again. We are following our shepherd. And they start going after him. The shepherd that is going this way, the sheep follow him. That one. At the end of the day, you find out no sheep has been lost except the ones that are prone to moving all around. So a shepherd that knows that this my sheep is always going astray, what the shepherd will do out of his love, genuine love and concern for that sheep is, it will break one leg. Break one leg, the sheep is not able to walk anymore. Guess what the shepherd does? He puts the sheep on his own neck because he knows you can't walk anymore. He hangs it. So it's extra pressure for the shepherd, but the shepherd is ready to take that extra responsibility. Why? He's not saving the sheep for today. He's saving the sheep for tomorrow. He knows that if this sheep continues to wander off like this, he will go and meet the beast or the bear that will kill it. Amen. And so there are some setbacks, and I'm not prophesying doom. It's your responsibility to know the voice of your shepherd. It's your responsibility to draw closer to your shepherd. If you stay close enough to him, you will recognize his voice. With time, you will recognize what he's saying, how he's leading you, and you will not go astray. But if you don't, out of the mercy of God, out of his love, at times, it might look like a setback. Because the truth is, when we are in trouble, we seek God more, sir. I have found out. Have you found out? It is not, see, whatever brings us pain and hurts God also. He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And that is why I'm just letting you know that because God is committed to you, if he has to go that extra mile to break somebody's leg, quote and unquote, and that might mean a little trouble, a little challenge that makes you go back to God, makes you remember God, he will do it because he's committed to you. But we don't need to drive him to that extent. You can start out by saying, God, I want to know you. I want it as part of my goal for this year. I want to know the voice of my shepherd better. One of the ways that you know is by reading his word. You are in a place where you are not being taught fables. You are not being taught quotable quotes. The word of God is what is being projected to you. I've come here many times, and every Sunday, just, not just what you do during the week, they bring it here that, okay, what you've read Monday to Wednesday, the way Monday to Friday or Saturday, the way you've read it, and we are thinking you should have gained something from this word, let's discuss the Bible reading for today in church, right? That's what we do every Sunday morning. One of the ways to know the voice of your shepherd is stay close, listen to his word. That's how you know a man. I was going to get married, and I was saying to my husband when we were courting that, you know, some of these things I've heard about you, they look good, they sound nice, but somehow deep within me, I'm thinking, if I know everything, maybe I will not decide for you. I might just say, I'm not going with you. I just want to know you more and all that. And he thought and thought. He was a man of wisdom. He just said, you know what? Those days before GSM became very available, we used to write letters to ourselves. He was saying that to me, that himself, his friends, they used to write letters to themselves. So he said, I have an envelope, big envelope of letters written to me and all. Maybe I should just share them with you. Read through some of those letters that people have written to me. By reading, you will get to know a bit about me more. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? Does that sound logical? Yes. So he gave me that pack of letters to learn about him, to hear what people have written to him during all the days. And I learned a lot. In fact, that pack is still in my father's house. I was in my father's house. We were with him, you know. It's still in my father's house till now because I really didn't finish it. I read a portion and my curiosity got satisfied. I'm like, okay, I think I can trust this man with my life because now I've come to know more about him. The way you will come to know about your father also is as you look into the Bible. Read. It's not a waste of time. You are learning to know his voice. You can say it's not the one talking to me. I'm not hearing his voice because I'm the one reading it. There are times we even read to ourselves. Amen. You know, but the truth is you are learning his ways. You are learning how he thinks. You are learning how he reasons. We have testimonies, stories of how he dealt with fathers. You know, our people that have journeyed with him before now. We are looking at how he journeyed with Moses, how he journeyed with Abraham, how he walked with David. Some of these people were not the most perfect men. And God did not even spare us the bad details, the dirty details about their lives. He puts everything in there so that you will not condemn yourself and say, maybe I'm not as clean as these people. Rahab, her dirty activities, everything was there. Everything that happened with all these mothers of faith, fathers of faith, we have everything in the scriptures. So one way to know, and God is a God that has not changed. God is not difficult to know. We are the ones that make it difficult. It's not difficult. The scripture says it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. If you read through the scriptures, you can see the footprints of God. You can see his movement. You can see his dealings with people, and he hasn't changed. He's not a partial God. He's willing to take you and I, you know, at the level where you are right now. He's willing to let go of the past and say, can we start afresh? I'm just happy that you are at this point and you are saying, Lord Jesus, I want to be more serious with you in this year 2024. This is one of my goals. He's just too happy. He's not looking at all the mess up of previous years or maybe last year. He's not looking at what you probably have even done between the 1st and the 6th of this year. He's too happy to just start afresh with you this morning. If 1, 2, 3 people can just make up their minds that, okay, life is not so complicated. I need to grow in my faith, grow in my knowledge of God, grow in my relationship with God, be more responsible, and then I should look at how I'm going to be a better child of God by contributing something into his house. Is that difficult to ask? It's not difficult. We're not asking you, God is not asking you to carry Bible and preach like Pastor Setman will do or Pastor Emi will do. He's not asking you to come there yet, because some of us might eventually come there. But he's not asking you for that. What he's saying is, make up your mind that you are going to be serious with God. You are going to learn his ways, learn his voice, learn about him as you read through the pages of the scripture. Talk to him about your fears, about your plans, about your circumstances. Learn to talk to God. He's available for you and I. Amen. Let's not cut him out of our lives this year. Let's plan. Usually, if I want to ask us, you have big rocks, or maybe one big rock, and then you have pebbles, you have sand, you have water. And I tell you, you have a bucket. How are you going to fill this bucket with all of these things? Some of us think, let's put sand first, and then we can now put the rock and the pebbles or something. Some people will say, let's pour water. No, we can't even pour water first, because you know, everywhere will be messy. But the best way to do it is, you have one life. That big rock, put it inside that bucket. Your life is your bucket. Put that big rock, which is God, inside it first. Put God first. This year, put God first. Matthew 6:33 says to us, says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing, you need to believe it, that God knows what he's saying. Every other thing, inside that every other thing, a good job is there. Every other thing, your house rent. Every other thing, good life. Every other thing, fulfillment in life. Amen. You know, some people have money, they have husbands, they have children, but they don't feel fulfilled. They wake up every morning thinking, what exactly is life about? What am I here for, really? They are miserable. So if you have fulfillment, it's a big deal. One of the ways you can have fulfillment is to partner with God. You are partnering with the God of heaven. You are about the biggest cause on the face of the earth when you partner with God, because that is the biggest thing that is happening, what God is doing on the earth. So put your big rock first in that bucket of your life. As you take your time to read the word of God every morning, that is like, we can liken that to the children of Israel as when they were in the wilderness. The Bible said they were expected to go fetch manna every day. Do you remember? They were looking for manna every day. God made it such that you don't pack for tomorrow. It's only on, quote and unquote, we can debate whether Sabbath is Saturday or Sunday. Amen. I hope you're not confused about that. But for the Sabbath, it will allow them to pack twice, because on the Sabbath, they are not supposed to do any work. But other than that, every day they get fresh manna, fresh. So you are asking me, because I sense there might be question on people's hearts, why do I have to read the Bible every day? Maybe you've been told, but you're like, why exactly? I know they've always told me, but why? Because it is the food that you need to sustain your spirit. You are a spirit first and foremost. The you, the real you, is a spirit. Can you say your name and say, "I, Fumi, you are a spirit"? Say that to yourself. Again, say it to yourself. Fumi, you are a spirit. You are first and foremost a spirit. You are actually a spirit. You have a soul, and then you live inside this body. reorganize or reprioritize your what you are doing, your priorities. Reorganize your priorities this year. You are first and foremost a what? A spirit. You cannot be starving your spirit and you are serving your flesh 3 decent hot meals every day. As difficult as some people say Nigeria is, you know, some people still eat 3 square meals. And if they don't take the third one, it's as if heaven will fall. I don't know how many adults do. Let me not get on anybody's case. You know, because if you are thinking of staying fit, you know, can maybe not stay fit. But for women that are trying to cut down on our weight, at times some of us feel that 3 square meals is a luxury. Because with the rate at which you build it up is not the same rate at which you burn. To burn 1 kg, hey, you go explain tire. You will try and try before half kg will drop. So I don't know. Some people still take 3 square meals. But you cannot be giving this flesh 3 meals every day. It's not even fair to start with. And then your spirit, we leave our spirit starving. Some of us, all that your spirit gets of a decent meal is when you come to service like this on a Sunday. That is not healthy. It is not healthy. And that is why at times our body wins the fight every time you need to make a decision. Because your spirit, you have not fed your spirit. Your spirit is not strong enough. When we come to the table and we are making a decision and the spirit talks, and your body talks and your soul talks, we can't hear your spirit. Your spirit has been starved. It doesn't have energy to whatever it says. Nobody is listening to your spirit because the voice is even tiny. I'm talking figuratively speaking now. But your body has been fed good food 3 times a day, maybe all through the week. Your soul, you feed your soul, the music you listen to, amen. The education we go through, you are learning, you are training, you are learning things, you are studying something, you are feeding your soul, amen. Your emotions, your will, your intellect, that make up your soul. So everything you do to strengthen your will, your emotions, your intellect, anything you do to build it up, you are feeding your soul. You are feeding your body. We know that one very well. Our food to feed our body, we know. But my spirit, how does my spirit get fed? It gets fed as you listen to the word of God. The Lord Jesus said to us, he said, man does not live by what alone? Bread alone. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That proceeds. The word of God, you have the Bible in there, but you should also have the Lord speaking to you. It's a dangerous place to be when, as a Christian, you go on in a day, 2 days, without you hearing God, no input of God in your life. It's a difficult place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. When I was married newly, I used to accuse my husband. I said, how will you go 2 hours? You will not even call me to say, how are you doing? How many of us used to be like that? You want attention. Okay, I can see somebody like me. She rolled her eyes, so I know she's there. Or maybe she was there. I was there too. I would say, why would you not even call? That is how we ought to be touching base with God. You shouldn't go 6 hours. You have not said anything. 2 hours, you have not said anything to the Lord. The Lord has not said anything to you. Amen. There should be giving and receiving. You are speaking to him, he's speaking back. You are reading the word, the Lord is talking to you. And you are even communicating. In prayer, as you communicate, as you go through the day, you are talking to the Lord. Those things build your spirit. The scripture says to us, God is spirit. Those that come to him, those that worship him should do that in spirit and in truth. You are spirit. You ought to be communicating with God. You ought to be communicating with your father. There should be that transaction going back and forth. It is dangerous for you to go a whole day, a whole week. And if we stop you now and say in the last 1 week, everything that you have done, can you tell us the input or the contributions of God into all these decisions that you have taken? Can you categorically say that God said to me to do this? Or the Spirit of God moved upon me. That's why I took this decision. Our sister said, I had plans to do Psalm 23. But right here, the Spirit of God intercepted her and said, Deuteronomy is what I wanted to share with my people. How much of that is going on in your life? The more you have that, the more you are making room for yourself for the year to be a beautiful year. The Lord Jesus did not promise that the Lord should take us out of the earth. But what he said, be with them. Amen. And God being with you is a big deal. God can decide to be with you. If you are not with him, then there is a problem. Because God never moves. He stays with you. We are the ones that wander off like that sheep. When you have wandered and wandered and wandered and you get hit by somebody, like they say at times, bad blows. When it happens to you, you will find your way back to the Father. And he's not man that will say, where have you been? Where have you been? Now you have trouble. You are coming here. It's not like that to you and I. Amen. It takes you. We have gone to bring trouble. Now he will still put his arms around us. He will help us with it. But we are hurting ourselves. We are elongating our journey. He is the Ancient of Days. He does not get old. You and I get old. You can add to your journey unnecessarily. The journey that was supposed to be maybe like how many days for the children of Israel. They did it for how long in the wilderness? It wasn't the plan of the Father. But because they would not draw close to learn his ways, to learn him, they went the more difficult routes. They took a longer journey. They sustained injuries. But in it all, God was faithful. And I'm saying to you too, the Lord will be faithful to you. If you decide to go with the Lord, make it easy and you know, straightforward, God is for you. If you decide, no, I want to try out my things, I think I know a thing or two about how to live life in year 2024, God will say, no problem. You know, the same way he will say to you, I put before you life and death. And he will say, choose life. I'm saying to you too this morning, choose life. God has great plans for you. It is not a year that will not be laden with his own troubles and challenges. You know, we can't wish it away. And I'm not praying, I'm not a prophet of doom, saying evil will happen to you. But we know that things will not always go your way. Amen. Challenges of life will come. You know, maybe not tribulations, but difficulties will come. Challenges will come. Through all of these things, as you stay with the Lord, you discover that you are growing your muscles. You are growing your muscles. This last 1 year, I had issue myself. I have, you know, one of my, you know, most amazing scriptures I stand with is Galatians 2:20. It says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ live. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But this last 1 year, this particular scripture also, I have been challenged with it. There have been things that wanted to just move me out to do my own things. Because that scripture is saying, I'm crucified with Christ. I am living for Christ. I'm not living for myself. But this last 1 year, I've had reasons, I've had temptations, I've had things to move me out and say, live for yourself a bit. Do what you want. As in, I was tempted so this last 1 year. The challenges were huge. But in it all, I realized that this last 1 year is 1 year that I have also learned the most. And that is how God is. He's amazing. And that's why the scripture says, if the prince of this world knew, they wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. Because every time the enemy attempts to do you evil, the scripture says to us in Romans 8:28, it says, all things. Amen. He works for your good. Everything. The good, the bad, the ugly. He works. All of them are licensed to do you good. They are not licensed to do you any evil. Amen. Evil plus the trouble that you go and get with your own hand. You go and use your hand to attract. God knows how to turn it around. It will be good if you don't attempt it, because you might suffer. You might burn your fingers. You might have. But the truth is, at the end of the day, you are better off. If you have gone through that season well with God, you are better off. The wisdom that you have, you know, some other person that has not gone through that thing might not have it. So at the end of the day, make up your mind that you're going to walk with God. But I want to say to you ahead of time that it's a beautiful year that God has planned for you. And you're going to have it beautiful in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was a gift of prophecy in operation, if you didn't know. You know, because most times we're waiting that somebody will stand and say, thus saith the Lord. That was thus saith the Lord. That was a gift of prophecy. So, and just for clarity, I didn't tell her anything before. I just felt led to, well, I felt while praying for, about the meeting that I'll ask her to speak, among other things. But just a moment before then, I felt God say, no, ask her to speak first. You know, and then once she grabbed the mic, I felt God say, go and sit down. So I went to sit down. I don't pressure her, you know, to want to stop. Let her feel free. You know, if I stood here, she would be conscious of us. So he said, no, go and sit down. So I went to sit down. You know, normally I won't sit down. I stay here. So that's why I went to sit down. So that's a gift of prophecy. So 1 Corinthians 12, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit in there. We encourage all of those gifts in this church. Amen. The word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gifts of healings, we encourage all of them. And very often when you see something in manifestation like that, I try to tell you what it is. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's why she could go on and on and on and on and on. You know, and I'm sure she won't remember half of what she said. Hallelujah. But what she said was 1 Corinthians 15, which I was going to speak about. I thought that's where I would start off. And she said everything I would have said except better. Amen. Expatiated on every angle of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 that says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sorry, just to say thank you again for yielding to God. Amen. Actually, I knew our late husband from secondary school. It was in university. I know, that's why I'm saying it. In secondary school, we used to do lessons together in Poly. And since then, I always looked at this. So I can understand when you say, I want to know. Even me, I used to think, this guy. And then university, we became good friends right from year one. And we would pray together. We would, you know, minister together and all of that. You know, so since then, I knew him. And then when you got married, I remember pressurizing him. I said, I want to meet your wife. Because whoever has enough faith, yes, to marry you must be a giant of faith, you know. And I think where we first met was at Rough and Tumble. Yeah, I remember, yes. No. Virgin was before or after. We didn't meet at Virgin. We met in Abuja. Yes, we met in Abuja. Sedi Plaza, is it? Yes, so he brought me there. That is where you walk. That's where. Because I said, I want to meet this person. Whoever it is must have faith. Hallelujah. So thank God, thank God, thank God. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me read that in the Amplified, actually. Amplified Classic. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm or steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that is, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It's never wasted or to no purpose. So, like I told you, I'm not someone to do the year of anything. But on the first, I was taking a walk, and the Lord said, it's the year of steadfastness. And I knew that wasn't just for me. I knew that was for the church. And I shared that since then, that he's saying it's the year of steadfastness. Someday in the office, I came out, my office, and I had one or two people with me. And I saw a very dirty car. So I saw the security man. I said, oh, please wash that car. And then the guy looked at me and said, I don't know how to wash the car. He just looked at me and said, I don't know how to wash the car. So I smiled. You know, the person beside me said, ah. You know, so I just smiled. And another one in the security guard looked out and said, sir, which car? I said, that one. You know, it wasn't my car. I said, that one. And the guy came out and said, yes, I'll wash it. You know, so they were like, how can he say? I said, oh, no, don't worry. He was trying to tell me that it's not his job description. He's trying to tell me that it's beyond his job description, that they hired me to be at the gate not to wash a car. I said, that's his message, and I get it loud and clear. So as we're closing for the year, I told them, I said, see that gentleman that washed the car? I said, give him a bonus. They said, no, we'll give everybody. I said, not on your life. You are not going to give everybody. You are going to give that one. And the other one, they say, hey, but how will we put it? So we put it and say for car wash. I say, put whatever you like. But let it be clear that if he stays with his job description, it is fine. But also his blessing will be restricted. Are you with me? Are you there? So God is saying, do more. Excel. Do more than is expected. You know, don't stick with God and be legalistic and say, this is all that's expected of me. You know, you can even read more chapters than the one that we share every day. You know that. You know, it's allowed to finish the New Testament in 1 month. How many people know it's not illegal? That if you read the old New Testament, you can decide, this month I'm going to just wait on God. I want to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'll finish everything, and God will speak to me. And it's not illegal. You'll be fine. You'll be in your right. You can decide, this week I want to stay and study the book of Acts and read the whole book of Acts, apart from, you know, the daily Bible reading that you are following to read the Bible through in 1 year. That's doing more than enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's doing more than enough. And excelling in the things that God has asked you. So she was telling us about the fact that God wants to win souls. He does it in many different ways. But by serving God, you will end up winning those souls. Are you getting what I'm saying? And we need to realize that this is the year when you need to put God first. So the big rock. You understand what I'm saying now? So when I was telling you that she was saying everything, but better. That's the big rock. When we were in primary school, they used to sell us timetable. You know, we didn't have all these electronic things. So they sold us timetable that had Sunday to Saturday. And then it will start from about, is it midnight? They will put all the boxes of the time. And then you put, so you used one. Uh-huh. So, and what I tell people is that, you know, everybody will then write it down. You put 6 to 8, study. This to this, wash clothes. This to that, do this. I said, no, what you need to first do is take that timetable and fit in every place that should have God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you are looking at your itinerary now, fit God in. Put God everywhere first. That's the C key first that they were flashing there. That's the C key first. The key word, operational word in Matthew 6:33 is the word first. It's not seek God and every other thing shall be added. So people have been seeking God and every other thing is not being added. And they are questioning why not. Because God is not first. Are you with me this morning? And so you put God everywhere. You put God, this is my quiet time. You put God, this is my Kenny, this is the midweek service. This is the choir rehearsal. You know, one of the things that struck me this morning was a blessing to me personally, was that the people that led us in praise and worship are married women. And it blessed me personally. Why? Because I know that it's difficult for a married woman to leave her house on a Saturday morning and come and stay here and be doing rehearsal. Are you with me? So most times when you look in a choir, and I do some of those things, when I go to a church, I'm looking in the choir and all that, and I'm looking at the women. I'm trying to see how many people have a ring. Because you find out that all of them have dropped out. They don't have time to serve God anymore. Other things are there. I'm not saying that they should neglect your family or whatever, but I'm saying that God needs to be first. Please look at your neighbor and tell them, say, I think he's talking to you this morning. So be steadfast, immovable, excelling, doing more than enough. Hallelujah. You know, and when he tells you, be steadfast and immovable, it means that there will be things that will try to move you. Okay? Because when he says, therefore, remember it starts with the word therefore. And we said, when you see the word therefore, stop to see what it is there for. Okay? So when you read a verse, fantastic, it's interesting. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable. But it starts with the word therefore. So you must stop and say, what is therefore, therefore? And that means that it has said something before that is connected to what it's saying now. And if you look at those words and it talks about steadfast, immovable and all of that, it means that there will be things that will try to move you. So when she was also saying challenges, 2024 will have its own challenges. Some will be personal, some won't be personal. There will be things that will happen in the body of Christ. I don't do 2024 prophecies. Yeah? But I say some things. Okay? But you don't need to go and list and say these are 2024 prophecies. A big man will die in Lagos. Are you there? I question any and all of those things. Because God doesn't operate like that. Are you with me? It doesn't operate like that. Things can be said ahead, but for somebody to sit down and be writing lists for us, I question them. Okay, but that aside, so things will happen. And some of those things will want to shake you, shake your faith, shake your commitment to God. That's why God is saying, be steadfast. Okay, be steadfast. And why did he then start with saying, therefore? He says in verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many people believe that God knows good English? God speaks good English. He speaks all the languages correctly. Abi? So God knows tenses. Am I right? So when he says gives, what is that? Present continuous. So it means that he gives yesterday, he gives today, he gives tomorrow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So your ability to be steadfast starts from knowing that you already have the victory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are operating from a point of victory, not from a point of defeat. When things happen, that's not when God found out about it. He already gave you the victory ahead of the challenge. Are you with me? So when the things happen, what you are looking at is, how and when is it going to turn around? Because it will. It will. So the interesting thing is to see how and when it's going to turn around. You know, I like to tell people that the devil stops with tests, okay? Because he can't spare. So testimony is too long. So it's up to you to complete it. I know that when you see a test, it's actually testimony that the devil stopped at test. Are you there? So it's a testimony that's already packaged. The victory is already won. You know that, and there are several scriptures like that. You know, so when the Bible tells you in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, he said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever. So again, I like to say, if a chair can be born of God, it overcomes the world. If a cat can be born of God, it overcomes the world. If a chicken can be born of God, it overcomes the world. Say, whatever is born of God, as long as the thing can be born of God, it overcomes. And this is the victory that overcomes our faith. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we should fight the good fight of faith. You know, if you look at that, it's what you might think in English is called a paradox. Paradox means it doesn't sound logical. You can't call it a fight and call it good. And if you have ever fought before, then you will know that how can you call a fight good? How many people know what I'm talking about? For those of you who are very rascally and you fought very well, you know, every fight carries a risk. And you are thinking, even if you are the bigger guy, there's a good chance this guy will hit you just once, that will hit a bad place and you will bleed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But when you therefore can call a fight a good fight, is because you have already won the fight before it started. Hallelujah. You have already won the fight before it started. And therefore, be steadfast and immovable. Don't let anything move you this year. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Business is not going well. Don't be moved. Stay in the love, in the knowledge, in the service of God. Hallelujah. Knowing that he gives you the victory. And in fact, the Bible says here at the end of verse 58, it says, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Knowing that your work with God is never in vain. Whatever you do for God is never in vain. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So it's going to be a good year. Irrespective. As long as you are steadfast. Amen. Yeah, you will share with us. I mean, she was telling us 2023 had its challenges. Yeah, but then they all became testimonies. That's what they are supposed to be. We are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. You are more than conquerors. Why? Because he already fought the real fight. You are there to receive the belt. You know, but he fought the real fight. Hallelujah. So when you watch Anthony Joshua, you know he's single. But when you watch, they did which movie now? Rocky Balboa. Did you? How many people watch Rocky? Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4. Rocky was, I think, the only movie itself. Is it the only or one of two movies that I watched and I cried? When you see the way they punch that guy's face. I mean, they finish the guy. If you watch it, your emotions will rise. If you are human, no. Your emotions will rise. But guess what? He is a conqueror, but the wife that receives the belt and the check is more than a conqueror. Are you hearing me? She didn't receive any single punch. She was handed the victory. So we didn't receive any punch. We didn't fight the devil. We are handed the victory by Jesus. He has fought the real fight and handed it over to us. Amen. I think it was, we were reading the other day, it says that heaven, Hebrews 2, is it? It knew the handwriting that was against us. It says, and he defeated the principalities and powers and made a public show of them. I'll try to close, but you know, when I was in secondary school, we had a place we call School 2. I don't know how many schools had School 2. Eh? You have School 2. You know School 2. Uh-huh. What happens in School 2 stays in School 2. So we had School 2. And when people were ready to fight, they go to School 2. Because in School 2, they don't separate you. In School 2, you fight. If you want to fight, you fight. In fact, anybody who is there to watch. They will not separate, except you are almost dead. Then they can separate you. But they are there to watch you fight. So if you are just doing shakara ordinarily, don't go to School 2. Anybody say, oh yeah, come, let's go. You say, no, you don't go there. You know, but the idea also is that sometimes when you fight in School 2 and you were beaten terribly, hey, the guy can come back and then they say, hey, I beat him. He say, no, me, you didn't beat me. Oh, because he was in School 2. You understand? So most people didn't see the fight. So you can debate it and say, no, it was in School 2. So that's what happened. The Bible says that he defeated the principalities and powers in School 2. Then he brought them out and made a public show so that everybody knows that they have been defeated. Hallelujah. Let somebody say, we have the victory. Say it again like you believe it. Say, we have the victory. Now personalize it and say, I have the victory. So you know, when under COVID, stand so that I can close and we'll take the communion. When under COVID, somebody called me and said, I have COVID and was really sick. I said to her, number one, you must know that you will not die. I said, because that's the first thing. And once you believe that I will die, I'm this sick, I will die. I said, well, I don't start. I said, so you must know that this is just another disease. And just the same way Jesus heals people and has healed you before, he will heal you again. So no matter what you face, you must know, I have the victory. Hallelujah. Begin to talk to God this morning. And look at the year ahead. Look at the year ahead. at all the plans you have. We have heard it. Involve God. Involve God. Consciously or unconsciously, involve God. Lay it all before Him and say, God, you know the plans, you know the dreams, you know the hopes that I have. I trust you. I present my life. I present my plans. That all may go well. And all may go according to your will. That's why one of my favorite Pauline prayers is Colossians 1. It says that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. One says that you may have a complete knowledge of His will. And verse 10 says, when you have that, what happens? You will become fruitful in every good work. Not only will you walk in a way that is pleasing Him, He said you become fruitful in everything good. Because the will of God is good. Being in the will of God is good. Being in the will of God will bring fruitfulness, will bring blessings your way. So also tell God this year, I will be steadfast and immovable. You know, this year, all this little, and this thing happened, I'm not going to church. All that should stop. In fact, church is even a far thing. Some people, I don't know why all this is happening. I'm not even praying. I'm not praying. All that should stop. Should be steadfast and immovable. Bring the communion. And if you are here this morning, it's the first Sunday of the year, you are here or you are online, and you just need to make peace with God, please do so now. Do so now. Tell Him, Lord, yeah, this year I'm steadfast. I'm immovable. My devotion to you will be unquestionable. My walk with you will be solid this year. And if you are just going to start that, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've never really committed to serving Him. You don't have any knowledge of when you ever really did it. And you actually presented your life to Him. Then this is the time to do so. This is the time to do so. And say, Lord, this morning I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that you are my Savior. And I present my life to you. And if you are doing that first time or you are doing it again, I'm making a fresh commitment. Put your right hand on your chest as you do so. Thank you. Do it boldly. Forget everybody else. Do it boldly and put your hand on your chest. And tell Him, say, Lord Jesus, I'm here this morning. I know that I'm a sinner. But I also thank you because you died for me. And you rose so that I might have peace with God. Thank you for nailing the handwriting of everything that was against me on that cross. Thank you because you are my Savior. And from today, I call you my Lord. I dedicate my life to you. I will do my utmost best to walk with you. To know you better, to serve you. Amen. Father, thank you. We commit all of them into your hands. We know you're able to keep them. You're able to strengthen them. In the name of Jesus. Thank you because they are saved. You said all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so it is in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and the glory. We declare according to the scriptures that all things are passed away. And all things have become new. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I believe God's working on somebody's eyes. Repairing somebody's hair. Eyes. Eyesight. So this morning I believe that you see changes. Changes. It's just getting better and better and better per second. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, as we take the communion this morning, what we are declaring, you said in John 6, that he that eats of your flesh and drinks of your blood will live by you. So we declare this year, we live by you. Our victories are by you. Our sustenance is by you. Our protection is by you. Our direction is by you. Everything about us this year is by you. And we take this communion just in commemoration of that covenant that secures that promise for us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Most High. In Jesus' name.